We understand the very onslaught of darkness, powers of hell, the intentions, the motives. It is simply to rob the essence of the truth from a man's heart, a thing which he relies upon and trusts, and he truly waits upon that. For without that profound word in a man's soul, he has no faith to believe Almighty Yahweh. So he can't wait on the promises that he has given unto us. And so the enemy, with a great onslaught in this hour, he is doing all he can to rob that strength and the hope of his divine truth out of the heart of man. And we have begun in a spiritual walk, and now for somehow we think it's going to be completed or finished by walking after flesh or in a carnal way. And it's not going to be done that way. It is a spiritual walk, and we must complete it that way. We have begun in the spirit. Are we that foolish to literally think that it is going to be finished according to the natural power of a man? And it's not going to be done that way. And so that's what we have much debating today. And opposition that oppose Almighty Yahweh. There's nothing that he speaks today that actually brings conviction to the hearts of many, because they are not truly convinced, nor are they convicted of what he says. And that's why we have sin rapidly in the heart of man. He's going after those things that are natural. It has no love for the spiritual laws of Yahweh. That's what brings about that power and the ability to resist darkness. And today man cannot resist darkness. He's given over unto every kind of vile spirit that creeps into his thoughts, his mind. And that's why you have such hatred and animosity and opposition one with the other. For there is not the divine law that dwells richly in the soul of man. Every kind of sin is being perpetrated in the heart of man, for there is no living well that he can draw from. And that is the source of that true divine word that he speaks unto us. I want to speak on something tonight. We talk about it all the time, and that's all we do is talk. It has become real to the house. I'm not going to preach on the name Yahweh Yahshua, but I will use his name. There's something else I want to touch on tonight. I believe that is very important. This generation, they're given over unto their flesh and the desires of their flesh. And they have a will to do those things that bring a great divide and a gulf between them and the Father. That's why this generation is so corrupt. They have literally perverted the judgment of Yahweh. Because you have respect unto your sons, your daughters, your children. And so it's not as they are not as corrupt as others are. And they're more wicked. They're wicked. And you're wicked. You call good evil and evil good, forbid it for sweet, sweet forbid it. You call the righteous wicked and you call the wicked good. You're an abomination unto Yahweh. And that's just a fact. And so I'm not going to sugarcoat things at all. I will never allow you all to buy my lips and to buy me. Some of you all would do that. I will never allow you to do that. I will never give you that authority or that power. I don't care if any of you leave. Not even Sister Roberts. It makes no difference. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on him. Because he has put something in my heart that is real. And if you don't get right, you're going to die in your sins. That's your sin. There's no doubt about that. That's it. All people do die. And they go to hell or they go into the kingdom. One or the other. And I'm not going to preach some little pacifying message to pacify your flesh. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to speak that way. I've always said, Father, I said, we want those here that you intend. I don't care who it is. Just faithful brothers and sisters. Just a few. And I'm pressing on. I don't care. And those that are the daughters of Zion, they're walking the faith and they're staying the faith. I believe that. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, there are a few things I want to talk about. You can listen to me. He says, for we are the children of Yahweh. That's what we are. We are Yahweh's children. I believe that. He said, by faith in Yahshua Messiah. And that is how we have received this adoptionship. Through faith, through Yahshua, that we should be called the sons, birthed by his spirit. That we should be called the sons of Yahweh. And birthed with an intention and a motive to do his will, as Yahshua said, the will and the purpose of my life is simply to please the Father, to do His will and to finish that. So there's nothing else in life that is important unto us but to do His will. And we do His will by keeping His commandments and His laws and doing what He tells us to do. And man today don't want to do that. It is so corrupt in this generation. They base laws upon their feelings or their ideas and their philosophical intellect. It has nothing to do with the things that are spiritual. So we are begotten in the Spirit. And I'm watching this as Paul saw this in the transformation of the Galatians. They're begotten in the Spirit. And now all of a sudden they are made perfect by the flesh. So they began to resort to flesh. And there are many of you sitting here today. You have resorted to flesh. You are not being led by the law of the Spirit. You have resorted to your flesh, to emotions and your feelings and what you think is right. And you can look at this place and you will find a multiplicity of laws. Everyone in their own sight, they think they're right. And their laws are right and your laws are corrupt. And they are wrong. It doesn't produce any kind of spiritual excellence at all in you. No kind of life at all. We are destined for eternity, one place or the other. It is in the kingdom or it is in hell. And that's no doubt about it. None whatsoever. And we better have the ears to hear, to have faith, to trust His word. And that's despite mother, daddy, if you want it all, I will trust Him. And what He says, and He has made it so simple that I can understand that word. He has. And He has gone even a length. He has raised up men that will stand faithfully and true and preach unto us the acceptable year of Yahshua Messiah. He has done that. So what men do today, say, well, I don't need anyone. Well, I need the man. I do. I need the man. You're not going to go out there in the world. You're not going out there and battle against the forces of hell by yourself. You're not going to do it. Satan loves that. He wants you on his territory. And it doesn't take long for him to rip your soul into hell and destroy you. When a man truly loves your way, what does it love for the Father? He lays down his life for him. He will give his life totally unto him. And he will say to him, instruct me, correct me, and show me the right path of life. That is not the attitude today. Men are saying, I will go in my own strength. And we have no strength of our own. I will go according to my own laws. And all of our laws are vile and filthy. It never produced anything clean or of any substance. It never produces that. It produces hatred and animosity, wrath and sedition and strife. That's all it produces. It never produces the profound love, this oneness of Almighty Yahweh. And that is what His love will do, will bring us to that place of oneness. And we will have that one mind and the one heart and the one spirit to glorify Him and to acknowledge Him in all things. That is not the heart of men today. That's not their desire. They all have their own focus and their own intent. But it's not to please the Father. And it never pleased the Father. Love doesn't do what I see is transpired, even in this place. Love doesn't do that. It doesn't. That is not the pure divine love of your way. It is something that is unfeigned. It is something filled with dissimulation. And there is nothing pure at all about it. It is one thing that the power of the Holy Ghost will do. It will shed abroad in a man's heart the power of his divine love. And there will be an aspiration and desire to walk in his commandments and his laws. He will love to do the will of the Father. His intentions will be to do the will of the Father. He will not allow anything natural or carnal to supersede that. We allowed all kinds of carnal things to supersede the spiritual law. And I'm telling you, the persuasion that you are being persuaded by is not from above. It is something that is devilish, wicked, corrupt. But it is not the persuasion of Almighty Yahweh. And if it was, there would be conviction in a man's heart. And this is his heart. And you will sense repentance there. Very little of that, if any. No repentance. Because what repentance does, it changes a man's mind. When you truly repent, it will change your mind and your spirit. You must repent to repent again because you have never repented. When you truly repent, there is a transformation and a changing in one's mind and one's spirit. And so that's why you're constantly going back to the weak and beggary elements of the world constantly, because there is no true repentance. It changes, it transforms a man. His mind, his thoughts, his intentions, his desire, they're totally transformed. And there is no compassion or caring for the natural things of this life. His heart is given over unto those things that are spiritual, for they produce the fruit that is going to take to overcome this wicked, deceitful, and corrupt world. Without fruit, you're not going to overcome. And we need the fruit of Yahweh down in our soul. And it comes through the faith of Yahshua, the Messiah, that we are sons of Yahweh. Let me say, I will not stop for any of you all using his divine name. I won't stop. I won't even make any concession for you. You will go to hell if I must explain it that way. Not one bit. And I don't care if you never say it. I say it because I love him. Because it's a pure name. Glory. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 verse 9. Let me say, you can't prove Yahweh wrong. When you try to prove him wrong, can I tell you what it proves? Just how wicked you are. So you can't prove him wrong. Everything he says is right. Glory. So it behooves you to not to be found kicking or against the prick, because you're kicking against him. What you need is your wicked mind clean and your heart purged from your dead works. And that's why your works have no life in them, because they were fleshly works. They were not spiritual works. He reveals the very hidden things and the very hidden secrets of our hearts. I don't care who you are. And so your works were carnal works. They were not spiritual works. You began in the spirit, and all of a sudden, you're going to make things right fleshly. So we see the representation of the flesh, the attitude of the flesh. Well, I don't like this. It doesn't make any difference whether you like it. Paul says to the saints of Romans chapter 12, verse 9. He said, let love be without dissimulation. We understand what dissimulation is. Dissimulation without being love of hypocrisy and love that is unfeigned. Do you understand what love of hypocrisy is? You love me today, you can't tolerate me tomorrow. You bother me the next day, and there's no love the next day. You got this arousing emotion today, and tomorrow it's all gone. That's dissimulation. That's unfeigned. That is not feigned love. It is not true love. It is not pure love. It is that love that is based upon his divine principles of truth. For he is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so his love never alters. It never changes. It's the same. It's a steady thing. And so what we call love, because it's based upon feelings and association, it is not the divine power of Yahweh. It's not his true spirit. Because what it does when the Holy Ghost fills a man's heart, it spreads abroad that divine truth of whom he is in a man's heart. And the more he understands who Yahweh is, the more he will love him. The more his heart will love him. And then when he sees the body, there's a pure love for the body. And that one will love the body. Why? Because Yahshua dwells in their hearts. And Yahweh is love. That is what he is, saints. He is simply love. He is pure. He is not what we call love. Because our love is shaped by our feelings, our emotions, our likes, and our dislikes. We were all sinners and wicked, vile, on our way to hell, and yet he loved us. So he didn't shape it on that. You shape that on associations and friendships. That is not how love is based. Love that is pure is not based on any of those criteria. It's not based on one of them. It's just based on what Yahweh says and the profound unction that He puts in a man's heart that you can't do nothing but do just that. And that's just love. And that's all you can do is just love. And because our love has been based on certain principles and certain emotions and certain feelings, then it shatters or it falters when there are things that impugn us or come against our feelings. So our love changes. I don't like what she said. I don't like him. So our love changes. Is that pure love? No, it isn't, my friend. It's easy for you to judge the one that you think that doesn't know how to love. And yet you will not look at your own heart and see what things are actually lacking out of your heart. You will say it's the other one and never look upon your own heart. And he always said his word does not go out and return on him void, but it goes out and accomplishes that which he is purpose and intend for it to do. So if you're not a son or a child, he doesn't intend to talk to you. He intends for you to put that on someone else because that is his power to correct that one. And he intends to correct that one that you have judged in that fashion and you have not even judged your own heart. He intends for you to do that. So you do that. Do just that. Paul said, let it be without any kind of dissimulation, hypocrisy, false. But let it be pure and sincere. He said, let the love be without dissimulation. And then he tells us, when love has pure is without dissimulation, he tells us to abhor that which is evil. Things that are wrong, you know that are wrong, you abhor them, you hate them, you despise them, you detest those things. You don't participate in them, you don't be a part of it, you hate it. And he tells us to cleave to that which is good. Those things that are good, you cleave unto those things. Let them become a part of you. And those things that are disruptive, you despise them, you resist them. You don't even allow them to come into your heart, your mind, or your thought. You just simply turn your heart away from those things. When a man is walking in that divine love without dissimulation, he will despise that. He will abhor that which is evil. He doesn't even want to be associated with anything that is evil. Well, what is evil? Well, first of all, he starts with his own heart because he knows how deceitful it is. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and is desperately evil. It's desperately wicked. Whose heart? You don't have to point. Just look at your own heart. And so he began to hate the things that is in his heart that he knows that those things do not produce any faith at all. He began to hate it. He began to hate himself and the things about himself. Because what they do, they began to destroy that love, most of all for the Father. And when a man can't even love the Father, there's no love for the brothers and sisters. And that's the truth. So it starts without that love of hypocrisy. And so what you need to do is go back to the drawing board, to the Master. And then he began to search the inward parts of your heart. And see if there is any dissimulation or unfeignedness there in your spirit. And I tell you, he will find it there. He will find it there. And what he will do because of his faithfulness, he will show you that. And then you will cry out because you must cry out in repentance in order for him to cleanse you of that issue. We must identify, first of all. And this is a generation that has begun in the spirit, and now they're going to perfect the things of Yahweh by walking in the flesh. My good works. I'm nice to people. No, we said that before we got saved. I don't bother anyone. I'm nice. Treat everybody nice. I do good things to people. Our own good works, no good, my friend. He did a work that is so profound that there's no work we can do to supersede that. Every work that we do, it must be in the works that Yahshua has already done. Any works outside of that, it is going to bring glory to the flesh of man. And it doesn't bring glory unto him. And so men today, they begot in a spiritual walk. And now they think they can go to the flesh and give strength unto the flesh. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work that way, my friends. You're going to lose your soul. And so what he is doing is he has begun to judge his people. He's judging them. I pray that he doesn't move to his anger because in his anger, we're going to come to naught. Correct us, Father, in thy judgment. And as he shows us our sins and the vile things that are in us, it is to correct us in his judgment. For judgment must first begin at the house of Yahweh. And it began with us first. Where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear
before him. So he sends a spirit of judgment upon his house to show us every sin, every corrupt thing, every vile thing, everything that doesn't bring glory unto him. How we constitute things that are so wrong to do, and yet we make constitutions for them. That's wrong. When a man truly loves Yahweh, he keeps all of his commandments. He does what he says. And this is a generation that they have heard things that are spiritual, and now they say, well, I really don't have to do that. That's not necessary. I'll do it my way. And it's not going to work. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. He has never left us to lead our own selves because we were blind. We were people that were blind. We don't anoint our eyes with the eye salve of Yahweh. We get up in the morning with sin blinding our eyes. We get up with our animosities, our angers, our dislikes, our grumpiness. And when he has raised you from the bed of death, sleeping like that, the first thing should be ones of praise and thanksgivings unto him. And yet we get up hostile, we get up angry, we get up bitter, we get up very mad at everyone. Don't tell me that that's the spirit of Yahweh, for he is love. That's your own natural spirit. It is carnal, it is fleshly, it is deceitful. And it deceives our hearts to make us think that we're doing so wonderfully. And we are not doing wonderfully. We walk against sin. And what he wants to do is show us that that propitiation, Joshua, for our sins is sufficient. When a man truly doesn't love him, he doesn't see the sufficiency of that and the works of the cross. And today, men, their eyes are blind. They don't see the power and the effective work of the cross. For if he truly seen that, he would truly love him much. As Joshua said unto Peter, he said, first of all, he went into Peter's house, and he didn't do anything for him. And he said, first of all, this one, soon as I came in, she has not ceased to wash my feet. She has not ceased to cry tears. He said, Peter, there were two. And one owed much, and the master forgave him. The old one owed little. Which one you think will love most? He said, I suppose now that the one that whom much is forgiven will love much. He said, you answer that right, Peter. I said, we don't believe that we have done much. And understanding even what things we have done, we will understand the much love that he has shown toward us. And that's why that's not even the hearts of the people today. There's no pure repentance. They say, oh, I'm sorry, but there's no changing. Their minds don't change and their hearts don't change. For they go back and do the same things over and over and over and over. That is not a transformation. That is not a renewing of one's mind. You can't say your mind is renewed. There is no way that you can say you have a renewed mind of the spirit. And you go to the world or you go back to the world and there's a comfort that something is wrong. I don't care what you all say. Something is wrong in your spirit, in your heart. Something is wrong. It's just wrong. We ought to abhor the evil. And the evil things that we think, the evil intentions of our hearts, the evil ideas and the evil thoughts, you ought to hate them. And when he speaks the word of peace, you ought to cleave unto that. You ought to hold on to that. You ought to hold on to him for dear life. That's what he wants us to do, to hold on to his sound truth. With dear life, saints, those good words that he speak unto us, we need to hold on to that with dear life and not be ready to give up on it, to give it away or to sell it just for some dainties of our flesh. And that's what men are doing today. They're selling their souls. I don't care what you say. They're selling their souls for the filth of the world, for nothing. I know few there be. It's going to be a few that's going to be saved. I believe that it's not going to be a lot of people, just a few that's going to be saved. Just like it was when he destroyed the first world, only a few. Just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, only a few. Just like when he brought Israel out of Egypt, only a few made it into the promised land. It's only going to be a few that's going to be saved. For the man of heart, because judgment is not speedily executed, because he doesn't judge us speedily. Why? Because once Yahweh judge you, don't you understand judgment is a condemnation, there's a sentence there. And he give us space of time to repent. He gives us space and time to repent. Why? That's why he's given us the Spirit. Then we go outside of his realm, it immediately guides us to that place. That's wrong. Repent. And a man repents. And he cries out, save me. Cleanse me, Father, from that thing. And so the hearts that they are not driven to repentance. And because judgment is not speedily executed, then the heart of man is fully set. You say, nothing has happened. That's why many of your hearts are just fully set. To do evil. To do wickedly. What is doing wickedly? When you disobey him. That's a wicked heart. I don't care what we think. When you go against what he tells us to do, that's wickedness. You don't realize what's down in your soul. It's the wickedness there. And you need to be cleansed. Let our love be without dissimulation. Cling to that which is good. And then he tell us, be kindly affectionate one unto another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Oh, I know we always say that that's me, but it's not us. He said, be kindly affectionate one unto another. Kind, affectionate. You're affectionate with those that you have something in common with. You mothers that have your children, you're kindly affectionate toward them. But with the saints, brothers and sisters, you're not. You have those that you love because you have a love that is a respect. That's not what the Father wants. That's not what he wants. He told us to love even our neighbors as we love ourselves, our brothers and sisters, that we love ourselves. That's what he tells us. And for you to think that he doesn't mean that, you are lost. You are lost. If you think he is just saying something, he means what he says. He means exactly what he says. You think it's a taskful thing for us to do that? No, it isn't. He knows it's not complicated and difficult for us to do that. He knows that because on that body, your human body, the price and the ability to do that was delivered unto us by that sacrificial lamb. And he knows that we can do it. The reason we don't do it is because we think we're going to do it in the flesh. And so we begin, our love is based on things that are flesh and things we see and things we feel and those that we know and those that we associate with. And that should not be so. It's wrong to do that. There's wickedness there. It should be based upon the principles of his law that he said, just love one another. Be kindly affectionate one unto the other. No, continuously. Just be kindly affectionate one unto the other. And it's one thing that love does. It has the ability to endure much and to suffer much. He did. His love toward us endured much of our wickedness, our sins. He suffered those things, our wrongdoing. We get that divine spirit in us, we'll be able to do that. That's why we can't suffer one with the other. We can't endure one another. That's why our temperament with each other is so short. Our fuses. We're ready to say, as you would say, go off. No, I want to bless my brother or sister. I don't want to go off on them. I want to bless them. That's what I want to do. No, I will tell you when you're wrong. I will tell you you're wrong. And I will show you your sins. If you think that's going off, that's good. I will show you how wrong you are. I will show when you purpose something you do. It is not Yahweh's will for you to do it. I will show you that. You haven't inquired of him. You haven't sought him. You're doing your own thing in your own will. You have your own agenda. It has nothing to do with him. For he will tell you, no, don't do it. Sure he would. And so I will show us our sins and our corruptions. I will show you how vile you are. And the things that are going to destroy your soul in the hell. Yeah, these pious men today don't believe in that. So that's badgering the people. No, your soul means more than a pleasure sin for a season. You are no more your own. You have been bought with a price. You have no power to direct your life at all. It should be directed by Scripture, not how you feel or what you think is appropriate. It shouldn't be directed by what you think is appropriate, what you feel. Well, I think this, I like this, or I think this is good. No, it has nothing to do with that. The things that we think that are good and right to do, they're wrong. And Yahweh doesn't take pleasure in that. Everything we do, he should take pleasure in what we do. I don't care what it is. Everything we do should glorify him. Everything. It should bring honor unto Him. Every last thing we do, every last one of us, it should do that unto the Father. So yes, I will do that. And I won't stop doing that. Glory. I won't stop doing that to any of you. I don't care who you are. You set your own agenda, your own will. That's no. What a man does, he pray, if it's thy will, Father. And he'll let you know what his will is. You will find it in truth. That's what you will find his will in the truth. That's what he said. Nothing else. He will show you how to do it and show you what to do. You'll find it in here. Not in your corrupt heart. Not there. Because you will do things that are diametrically opposed to what he says. We do things like that. Even to have that funeral in this tabernacle, that's diametrically opposed to what he said. I'm ashamed of that. I ain't going to do it no more. I'm just telling you all that. We're going to bury them and put them out there. If you want to get some other preacher, I won't do it no more. Not here. No. I saw the filth and the sin and the wickedness. Yahweh never intended for that to come into his tabernacle. That has been the tradition of men and their laws. It is not the will of the Father. Oh, I don't care how you folks feel. How do you think? That's what's wrong with you. Your tradition is going to take your soul flat to hell. That was never part of this walk. That's why they buried them the same day. That's the way it should be. 24 hours didn't pass before they buried them. They took Yahshua down from the cross. They cleaned him up. They wrapped him. And they put him in the sepulchre. And that's the way it should be. This is man-made thing. This is tradition of man. It's filthy. There's filthy things in Yahweh's house. That shouldn't be. They could go into the inner courts. That hasn't changed. It's filthy. It's filth. It's vile. It's not his will. That's not his purpose. It isn't. Now, you can make your little will out and have someone to bury out there. I have no problem with that. But here, I'll just put you out there. We'll take you out there and set you up out there. They come. I say a few words and we'll drop you in the ground. Glory. That's what it'll be. There's a profound statement here I want to read. 1 John 5:3. The scripture said, "For this is the love of Yahweh." 1 John 5:3. I want to tell you, saints, I'm not concerned with what people think or say concerning me. I want him to be pleased with me. Nothing else I do in life, I want the Father to be pleased. He saved me. I know he saved me. And he put something in my soul. And I'll never forget what he told me one day. He said, "Son," now if he ever spoke to me that day, he did. He said, "I will let you know something. Just don't be discouraged." And I won't let the folks discourage me. I don't care what y'all do. Y'all can turn your backs on me. Sister Robert's can. I love my wife. She can turn her back on me. There's something in my soul. There's something set in me. And there's a motion set in me. I will not let anyone turn me away from that. It's set there. It's set. It's real, too. There ain't nothing false. I won't go against his law, what he says, his commandments. I'll do what he says. I don't care. I don't care about my feelings. John writing unto Gesha and the elder, he says, 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of Yahweh." Do you hear that? He said, this is his profound love in action, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. He said, they're not hard to us. He commands us things to do. And we don't want to do those things. He warns us not to touch the things of the world. Come out from among the world. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean things of the world. That is his commandment. And we shouldn't touch those things. They are unclean things. They are vile things. We should not be a participant in sin with the world. In any way. We should not. And he said, when I command a man to do something, he said, this is the tilt. This is the hilt of love. My commandments, what I speak to a man, whatever I speak to him, they're not grievous to his heart, that may rejoice in those things. And what you always tell us, even to love one another, that's grievous to you. To be kindly affectionate one unto another, that's grievous to you. And that shouldn't be. Because if I truly get the spirit in him, those things are not grievous. It's not hard to do those things. It's not hard to break out of your shell and to cast down your carnal mind. The pure love is the same toward every brother and every sister. It's not. You be kind to everyone. Sure you do. And I'm kind because I rebuke you all. I reprove you and tell you your sins. Is he kind? He tells us our sins. He shows us how vile we are. He shows you how filthy you are. That's kind to me. Well, I'm glad he shows me that. I'm glad of that. Because he gives me an opportunity to get right, to repent. I'm glad he shows me that. Yes, I'm glad he shows me every way about me that is vile. I'm certainly glad about that. This is a generation that they can't even see themselves in the light of his truth. They want to reflect it on someone else. Or to think that there's always someone else that's doing something beside them. If he corrects you, not if he chasing you, none. If you're not chasing by his word, you are a bastard. That's what the scripture says. You're flat out bastard. And that's what it says that. You can't cast that out. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard for us at all. He says in verse 4, that's what Yahweh gave me to base this community on. For whatsoever is born of Yahweh overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. And that is that man has the power to allow that the fervency and the power of the might of the Son to dwell in him. And the Son loved the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. And our desire would be to please him in everything that we do. It would simply be that. And this is a generation that doesn't want to please the Father. It's looking for escapes. Looking to do their own thing. And it brings them into more bondage. The more you disobey him, the more it brings you into bondage. The more you go your own way, the more bondage you're brought into. And that's why some can't even get out of the crux that they're in. Their minds are so twisted. They can't get from out of that because you've gone your way. You've done your own thing. That's why Yahshua in that Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, not my will. I know my will. I don't want it to interfere with thy will, but thy will be done. Whatever you say, I will do it. And when he realized that it was the purpose of the Father, he said, I can get up from here. He said, you all can sleep on. For I'm delivered. For the Father has ordained this. And I understand that. And I won't resist that. I won't kick against that. And we understand that will of his. And understand the purpose of it. We will have a love to do just what he says. And you won't love doing your own thing and what things you feel are right and appropriate. And they're good things. You won't do those things. Because we're coming to an hour when he tells us to go, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to flee, say. I know the world is lawing us by and telling us nothing is going to happen. That America is great and she's going to reign in her glory and her power. But her house is going to fall. And her substance shall be no more. She shall have no riches or any anointing. She is not the life giver. And yet the world thinks she's the source of life. They come from every nation thinking that America, they love America more than they love the Father. She is not the life giver. It is not the things of America that produce any kind of life at all. These little trinkets produce death down in your soul. They don't produce any kind of love for Almighty Yahweh. That's why he wants you to just be content with food and raiment. Let him know that you know that he's taking care of you. And when a man understands that, he will love him. Men begin to rise in their own pride and their own ability. I can take care of myself. He said, oh, then you move him out of the way. Our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of, just like the sparrows. He wants, any father wants to take his children, and he wants to take care of us. And he wants us to know that he is doing that. Not David Roberts, not you, it is him. He wants you to understand that. That's his love. That's the Father's love for his sons and his daughters. He wants them to know that he is taking care of them. And see, the pride of man today says, I'm doing this, I'm taking care. No, that's not what the Father wants. He said, the sparrows, they don't sow, nor do they reap, but the Heavenly Father knows exactly what they need, and he sends down the earthworms and the seeds for them to eat. Are we not much more than many sparrows? He wants us to know that the power of His love is more than enough to take care of us. And we can trust in that. And we don't trust in that. We don't believe that today. I can make it on my own. Now you can't even make it. You're going to make your bed in the pit of darkness in hell. Is what you're going to do. And that's what He wants to display to people, to let them know, I want to take care of you. Let me take care of you. That's what He says all the time. Just let me take care of you. I want to do it. Just let me do it. We see the examples, the patterns in the Old Testament. He said, come on, Israel. Come on out the wilderness. I want to take care of you. Just let me do it. It gives my heart pleasure to do that. But if I truly loves Him, He would allow Him to do that. Because there's a distaste for Him. He doesn't allow the Father to do that. So He sets His own agenda. He goes forth in His own strength and His own power. He's not even grateful that the Father gives Him strength to do what He does. The love today is filled with dissimulation. It's filled with hypocrisy. It's not the divine pure love. It really isn't. No, you don't have to worry about your neighbor searching your neighbor or what someone has done to you. That's your hypocrisy. Or what someone has said to you. You just think what you've said and what you have done. That's your self-righteousness talking. Yeah, that's Him. Yeah, you need to do that. No, it's you that need to do it. Your self-righteousness tells you that you're above that. No, you're not above His truth. He's sent to correct you. To show you your sins. Where you've fallen short. He's trying to bring you up. And show you where you need to get up to. Yes, that's right. In the 1 John chapter 4, listen to this. John said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of Yahweh. And everyone that loveth is born of Yahweh. And he knoweth Yahweh. I know what it says in that rendition. For love is of God. For love is of Yahweh. And when a man truly loves, you know he's been born of the Father. He has the spirit of his Son dwelling in him. And when a man truly doesn't love, he doesn't even know the Father. And this is what we call to love today. It is of the Father. It is of the God of this world. It is Satan. That's why it's filled with dissimulation. That's why it's filled with anger and hostility and bitterness. It's filled with respect and honor to those that you think that deserve your love and your honor. That's wickedness. That's unrighteousness. That's not pure. It's a vile thing. It's an unclean thing. He told us to love one another. That's what He said. Beloved, love one another. Let us love one another, what He said. And He means what He said. You think that commandment is not filled with truth? He means what He says. And you're going to have to do just what He says. You love those that you have that. You have a great sensation for those that you have respect for. That's not what the Father wants. He said love one another. And He knew who He was talking about when John wrote to Gesia. He said that saints that you love one another. Yeah, we love our enemy because we won't do them no wrong. We won't try to kill them. We won't try to do them anything wrong. We just love them, let them go their way, and we will go our Father's way. We don't have no way to go. It is simply His way. That's why you got so many walking different ways. Well, I think this, I believe that. You got this one walking that way, this one going that way. No, He gives us commandments and laws that we all can walk the same walk, same talk, and do the same things. There's no exception to the rule. He's not going to make no exception for you. He means what He says. You think the enemy care about your souls? All He wants to do is destroy you. And He uses anything and anyone to destroy your souls. I'm set for defense. I'm going to defend Him. And that's a fact. I'm going to defend His truth. He that loveth, He said in verse 8, He said, He that loveth not, knoweth not Yahweh. For Yahweh is love. Herein is love. Not that we love Yahweh, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we ought also to love one another. With that kind of love, He was not talking to a group of sinners out there. That letter was written unto the saints. It was written unto the body of those that were gathered in the house. And the letter was written unto them. And he said, now, if Yahweh loved us, we ought to so love one another with the same fervent. He forgives us, we forgive one another. He holds no grudges, we hold no grudges. We don't allow some kind of spite or bitterness to enter our hearts. He doesn't do that. In all of our sinning and all of our wrong, he still holds nothing against us. But yet he still corrects us. And he's going to always use a rod to correct you. We are rebellious and hard-headed people. So he used a rod of correction. In his kingdom, he's going to rule his staff and his rod. He's going to rule that way. That's the only way he can rule, because he's a mighty king. If he doesn't rule that way, then this people, as Lucifer rebel, will stand up against him. And he's going to rule that way. He's going to keep everything straight in his kingdom. He is. And so as he's loved us, then we ought to love one another. That's the only way you're going to love one another, just the way he loved us. And even in all of our corrupting, our sins and the things we do, he still makes us a bowl with us. And that's the power of his divine love. He still makes us a bowl with us. He still fellowship with us. He still come unto us and grant unto us those things that are necessary for our lives. To keep us in the faith. That's what the divine love of Yahweh will do. And yet in all of that, he still tells you the truth. You're wicked. Your heart is corrupt. He doesn't change anything. How truthful he is and how honest. That's really, I love that about him. He's so honest with us. He tells us about ourselves and he shows us. I love that. You see, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that they can't even believe Yahweh's truth. They can't even receive it. Their God has blinded their eyes where they can't even come to the truth. They don't even know what the truth is, so he tells them lies. He shoots them with flattery. Oh, you look nice. You're this and you're that. He tells you you're filthy. Your ways are vile and they're unclean. He tells you to cleanse your hands, you wicked sinner. Purify your heart, you double-minded. That's what he tells you. Why? Because he knows in your double-mindedness you're unstable in all your ways. Up today, down tomorrow. Not sure the next day, ready to go the next day. He knows that. So he shows us our ways. And he shows us everything about us. That's what love is. That's what it does. Sure it does. And in this generation, we don't want to look at it that way, because we think very highly of ourselves. And a man to think that he is something when he is nothing, the scripture said he deceived himself. So we actually think we are something and we are not. We think we are good and pious and good. That's what the priests think. That's what Catholicism teach. You're works and you're good, you're nice, you're sweet to people. No. The vain works. The labors of vain. All things we do it through the power and the strength of Yahshua, because we know that he dwells in our hearts. He is our hope. The scripture says in Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now Yahweh himself, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now Yahweh himself and our Father and our Messiah, Yahshua, direct our way unto you, is what Paul says. He says, and Yahweh makes you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. For what reason? To the end, he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before Yahweh, even our Father, at the coming of Yahshua the Messiah with all the saints. That our hearts will increase the more in love one toward the other and all men. We love men because we will not do them wrong. We will not do anything against them. We will not try to do anything to jeopardize them or jeopardize their lives. We won't do that. We won't do that. And so he even allow us to understand a remnant of the body that we can truly practice and love one another. And men don't want to do that today because of sin in their heart. And they don't have the ability to do that. What man that truly loves his wife, if he loves her, he bears with her and she bears with him. That's what he does and she does. He even tells the man to love his wife as you shall love this assembly. That's what he says. That he gave his life for that. And when we truly begin to love each other and show that profound friendship, there's no greater love than this than a friend. We will truly lay down our lives one for another. You pick up your corrupt life when it comes to a saint. You will express your corrupt ways, your corrupt feeling, your vile intentions. That's not what the Father wants. You will let them know what I think, what I believe, this me, I'm this, and I'll tell you head of cabbage. That's not what the Father wants. Because your head is filled with trash and foolishness. And so it don't take much for you to give someone a head of cabbage. Because your head is already filled with that. Indignation and wrath and strife and sedition. So it doesn't take much for you. You blow up at the drop of the hat. You ready to go off on someone. I'm telling you, he's going to go off on you one day. Sure he is. He is. He's going to bring in judgment and woe unto you as well. Because you're going to have to give an account for the things you've done. And even the idle words that you've spoken, you're going to have to give an account for those things. And he's going to have men to stand and proclaim the power of his truth. To show his people their sins, their transgressions. He's going to show you your wrong ways. That's the only way. He must do that. Because we get very conceited, full of pride. And think we're doing right and we're doing wrong. Oh, I was nice to him and he wasn't nice. Oh, I was real nice to her. That's how we talk. That's hypocrisy. For you doing something expecting a reward. And that's not the way it should be done. You did that in secret. You just leave it alone. You know you've done right. Paul says in the 5th chapter, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 8. Paul said, but let us, who are the day, be sober. He said, we need to put on the breastplates of faith and love. The breastplate of faith and love. And a helmet, the hope of salvation. He said, for Yahweh hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Yahshua the Messiah, who died for us, that whether we walk or sleep, we should live together with him. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Know the men, know the brothers, know the sisters. Just know them. That's not hard to know one another because you have the same intentions and the same motive. It should be. If your motive is just like your brothers and sisters, then you should know each other. Because you have no ulterior agenda. Your agenda is to please the Father. He said, know them that labor amongst you and that are over you in your way. Well, who's over us? We should submit ourselves one unto another. It should make no difference who you submit to. They're saints, they're brothers, they're sisters. Just submit yourself unto them. Because of your arrogance and your pride, you don't want to do that. They will tell me, not submit. It's a spirit of humility. There's nothing like humility. And folks today don't want to be humble. We don't want to humble ourselves. If Yahshua is in them, you humble yourself before them. You are humbling yourself before the Father. They're arrogant. We don't want to do that. I won't submit to him. I don't want to submit to her. You're not going to tell me, honey, you're not going to tell me nothing. That's wickedness in you. That's a vile spirit. It's an unclean thing. It's not of the Father. It does not represent him. It represents your flesh. And yet you'll go right to the world and submit to a vile, filthy thing. They tell you what to do, you'll do it. They command you what time to come to work, you'll do that. And you do it with fear and trembling. For the sake of your livelihood. And yet you can't submit one unto another. See, the only way you can do that is through the power of his love. For he submitted unto the Father to do his will. And when you can't do that, you ought to know your heart is hardened, is devilish, full of sin, is full of canker. And that's why you can't do it. That's why you can't do it. That's why you can't do it. Because of your sin. Sin has hardened your hearts. And so he says, submit yourself. He says, and those that are over you in Yahshua, and admonish you, those that correct you, and tell you what you need to do. This is a generation that doesn't want anyone to correct him. And then admonish you. He said to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And they labor with you, just esteem them highly. Say, I love you, brother. Amen. Sister, I love you. Oh, I understand what Paul is saying here. But does that more than one application, all right? You esteem them highly. Say, bless you, sister. Thank you, mother. Thank you, daughter. I thank you for that. You don't do that. We don't esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. We began to become very hostile, obstinate. We vent our anger. We show what side we're truly on. We begin to speak very wickedly, vile. We speak in contempt. We speak out of our own natural carnal minds, which is so wicked and corrupt. It's a beautiful thing when you can humble yourself. And you humble yourself to those that you don't think much of. And you shouldn't do that. You should honor every. You should love, honor the king and love the brotherhood. That's what you should do. That's nothing to do with the brother, the sister, who that one is. You just humble yourself. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful spirit. This world teaches us to be arrogant. Nobody's going to tell me. I want someone to tell me. I do. Who is your authority? He is my authority. So he tells me to submit. And the ones that you don't want to submit to, those are the ones you ought to submit to. Just listen. Let them tell you something to do. That's good to do that. He said, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And he said, be at peace among yourself. Just be happy. He tells you to be at peace amongst yourself. No, he just tells you what to do. See, you want someone to pry you open and do something for you. No, he tells you what to do. When you love him, you will do just what he said. He said, be at peace, be at peace. How do I do that? Just do it. How do I raise my right hand? Just raise it. That ain't hard to do. How do I put it down? Just put it down. So he just tells you to be at peace. See, this is not complicated. He just tells you what to do. It's a law of the spirit. That's why you can't really do it, because you think you're going to do it carnally and fleshly. And so I've been nice all week to my husband or my wife. And so that's that for all the hell you've raised for the last 2 or 3 months. And so that justifies your good works. You boast in that. That's not the essence of his love and his truth. He just tell you to be at peace. Well, just be at peace. I'll just be at peace with Brother David. How do I do it? Just be at peace. Be at peace. And it be tranquility and harmony. Peaceable with him. Not looking for some kind of fighting or friction. Just be at peace. It's all right. Bless you, brother. Bless you. And just be at peace one with the other. That's all. Be at peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brethren. He said that you warn them that are unruly and comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. I looked that up in the Strong Concordance, support the weak. And what it actually says is that those that you firmly let them know what is expected of them. That's how you do. You firmly. You support them. You firmly. When a man is weak, you don't give him a weak crutch, do you? You give him something that's firm, that will support his body. And so that is weak, you firmly let him know. Now, you don't coddle him and stroke his back and say, well, brother, you firmly say, no, that's not the way you do it, brother. Stand up on your feet. Right. Support the weak. He said, be patient toward all men. Yeah, don't pour out no wrath upon men and no tribulation to them. Just be patient toward them. Hear what they got to say. Endure them. We can do that. Love can cause a man to do that. Especially when it's not with dissimulation. You're not going into the kingdom loving this one more than you love that one. See, love doesn't do that. Anything that love does, it prefers one else before it prefers you. It will choose someone else before it chooses you. It will consider that one before it considers myself. That's what love does. And you're not going into the kingdom that way. You're not going into the kingdom. I'm not going into the kingdom because this is my father loving him more than I love this brother. You're not going that way. He said to love your neighbor, our brothers, as ourselves. And so in scripture where he tells you to love your father or mother more than you love someone else. Nowhere in scripture. The way he told you to love sister, brother. That is wickedness, I'm telling you. He said you love everyone the same. But you love them the same. You tell one the same, you do the same thing with this one. You tell this one the same thing you tell the other one. When that one sins, you tell that one that sins. No one scripture tells you to do that. It doesn't tell you to do that. As a matter of fact, they put them all on the same plane. Love your neighbor even as you love yourself. We got our love for those that we like better. And that's wickedness. And it's not the spirit of Yahweh. It's the fleshly thing. It's a fleshly thing. Don't you know when you got saved, how you loved everybody? You just loved everybody. Oh, I love you. I love you. Oh, yes, you did. You can sit here with an hypocrisy. You got saved. You want to love everybody. And you want to show everybody you love them. Sure you did. It was a fresh spiritual walk. And all of a sudden you think you're going to perfect that in the flesh now. It's not going to work that way. It's not going to work that way at all. And I'm telling you, you better begin to search your heart, saints. You can say what you want to. You better begin to search your heart. And see that thing that is down in your inward parts. I don't care if you hate me. That doesn't make any difference. Because I will preach the truth. I'm going to speak it. It makes no difference what men say. I look how they feel. I look how they turn against me. That makes no difference. I've been bought with a price. And I'm no more my own. So I can't do nothing I can do. But do His will. And when you truly love Him, you will do His will despite. I don't care what men say, what man says, how they ostracize you, how they come in. You'll do what He says. Sure you will. Sure you will. You'll do it. And you'll do it wholeheartedly too. And you'll love doing it because He has chosen you to do those things. Hallelujah. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and then chapter 2. I want to read a few verses. There's so much to this. I'm not even treading on the threshold. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, We give thanks, verse 3, we give thanks to Yahweh and the Father of Yahshua Messiah, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Messiah, Yahshua, and your love, and of the love which ye have all to all the saints. He didn't say to some of the saints, but all the saints. And your love that you have to all the saints. To all the saints. And our love should be to all the saints. It should be to all the saints. Our concern should be for all the saints. He said your love to all the saints. And that's what it'll be. Our love should be to all the saints. It should be to all the saints. Something is wrong in our spirit. We can even show the wicked, those that are vile, and those that have no love for the Father, we can show them more love, more tenderness, more brotherly kindness, that we can truly show the saints. You are lost, my friend. You humble yourself before them and show them how nice you are. And when it comes to the saints, you can't do that. Something is wrong in your spirit. And that's a fact. We should be able to hear about the love that we have one toward the other to all the saints, especially here and then those that are scattered abroad. That's what he heard. That's what Paul said. Your love toward all the saints is profound. It is something that the world hears about. And the only thing we hear and what we call saints or this wicked Christian world, what they call it, all you hear about is fighting and infighting and such wickedness. Ain't no love. That ain't no love what they call love. They see their brother and sister in need and they shut their bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of Yahweh in that one? You know a saint has a need? You shut up your bowels of compassion. There ain't no love in you. There ain't no love in them. None whatsoever. None. Whatever the need is. For their lives to be circumspectly or to be corrected. Oh, that's part of it, saints. We got to get this thing on right. We got to get off this filthy garment that we wear. It's a self-righteous garment. It's your garment. It's your flesh garment. It wants to make you look good and not glorify the Father. That's a filthy garment. You need to take that trashy thing off. Put on the garment of righteousness. That old garment you wear is filthy. It's conceited. It's fleshly. It's all about me, myself, and I. No, that's not His righteous garment. It isn't. You have opportunity to love one another, you just do it. You do it with a fervent heart. Be kindly affectionate. That's how you do it. And you can do it. It's your sin that prevents you from doing it. And your stubbornness. Your own rebelliousness. Because you just don't want to do what He said. What? Just be at peace. Is that hard? Just be at peace. What I do? Just be at peace. What who? Just be at peace. Just be at peace. That's how you do that. He gives us opportunity. Sure he does. In the second chapter of Colossians, he said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. Such battle in my spirit," Paul said. "And for them that are at Laodicea, and for as many have not seen my face in the flesh," he said, "that their hearts might be comforted." He said, "Even though you haven't seen me," he said, "I want your hearts to be comforted. I want the hearts of the saints to be comforted. I do. To be at peace, their hearts to be comforted." He said, "Being knitted together in love." Our hearts to be one heart, knitted together. You sisters know how you knit. You know how you take things and knit things. The interwoven, how it brings everything together so beautifully. You start off with a little line, and all of a sudden as you knit, you can't see the little blanket there, but all of a sudden you begin to see the design and the pretty colors. And that's what the Father wants, our hearts to be knitted together. "And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding," that we understand the power of this great strength of His love and the love that He has placed in us. Full assurance, that assures our hearts that we're walking right before Him. "To the acknowledgement of the mysteries of Yahweh and of the Father and of Messiah," that we know that the works are of Him. And we have no doubt about that, that He has sent Yahshua to impart into us this profound truth of understanding. For He is love. And that's the only way you're going to understand the power of His love, is through the Lamb. No other way. We need to get ourselves out of our hearts and ourselves out of our sight. That's what we're looking at ourselves. You think very highly of yourself. That's why you deceive yourself much. Any man that thinks that he's something and he is nothing. He is not. He deceived his own self, his own heart. You think you're actually doing something good, or you're actually doing something right, and you think highly of that. You're deceiving your own heart, my friend. We do all things through Yahshua that gives us strength. We can't do nothing in of ourselves. And He doesn't want us thinking like that. But you think you're going to restore glory unto you. You're going to restore glory unto you. "I did this. Look what I did. Look at my hands." No, I know you always use me here. I always give Him glory for everything, for the lawn, for everything, every little thing, for the path. When it's raked on fire, I say, "Thank you, Father. Bless you, Yahweh." I give Him glory for every little thing. I have no power to do no works. He's in us that do the works of righteousness. It is the law that ought to abide in us. And because we have a love for Him, we do not want to do anything against what He says. We shouldn't want to do that. Our hearts should be set to please Him in everything. We should have a love in our hearts for Him. And because we are the body of Yahshua, then we should love one another fervently, without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. I don't want to cut off my left finger here. I need that. It balances. It helps. And I sure don't want to lose it. Which one I love the most? All of them. Which one you want to lose? Which toe would you prefer losing? I don't want to choose one of them to lose. Which part of your body would you want to lose? Not one part would I want to lose. So it is with the body. I don't want to lose. I don't want to see any part of the body dissemble. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it dismembered. I don't want to see that, saints. And the only way it's going to happen is it has to be a fervent love one for the other. You don't love the saints, you're not going to want to be with them. You love them, then that love will supersede everything. It really will. It will. Love covers a multitude of sins, faults, and dislikes. Because there's no love, you can't bear. You can't forbear. Love will forbear. It will endure. It will. Look how He endured with us and forbeared us. Look how we count the long suffering of Yahweh as salvation. You were sinful, vile. And all those years, 25 years, He said, all right, 22 years, David, stop. Sure it was. Stop. Repent. Change. That's not love. I don't know what love is. He said, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I want to read something else before I close. It says in glory to the Father, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22.
I believe this profoundly. Peter said, seeing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing. Seeing. You can see that. See, it's one thing about this profound love. You can see it. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Don't get drunk. He says, seeing, ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Do you hear that? You can tell when something is pure and white and clean. He says, seeing that we have purified our souls. He said, there's such a brightness, there's such a light, that there's such a glow from the saints, because we actually seeing. We can literally see that you have purified your soul. We have purified our soul. And obeying the truth through the Spirit. Having unfeigned love unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You love one another with a pure heart. And the only way you're going to get that pure conscience, you've got to hear the truth. And there must be a love for the truth. And a man purify his soul to the hearing of that truth. And he began to purify his heart and his mind unto unfeigned love. And then once that began to happen, his love will become unfeigned for the brethren. There will be no hypocrisy in his love. And when your love is that way, because your soul is not pure, you don't love truth, you don't hear truth, you won't obey truth. When a man hears this truth, he just begins to obey it. And he begins to make his heart and his mind pure. And once his mind and his heart become pure, then that love is shed abroad throughout the man's heart. And then he will have love, unfeigned love, without hypocrisy, just pure love for the brethren and sisters. There won't be no exception. He is as comfortable with this one as he is that one, with her as he is with she. It makes no difference. Unfeigned love. Your souls are just not pure because there's not a willingness to obey the truth. We're not willing to obey what he says. Well, I know what he said, but I want to do this. He said, no, that's not what I want you to do. You keep my commandments to love me. To love me. You may have a fervent love. A love that is fervent is a love of fire. It has something to it. You can sense it. You know it. As they would say, you can feel it. Sure you can. Not this false mess we call love. Not this disseminating love. It has to be pure. You purify our soul by obeying the truth. Sure, that's how you do it. And Peter goes on to say, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of Yahweh, which liveth and abideth forever. We're born again, not of a corruptible seed. Then how is our love corrupt? How is it corrupt? Tell me. This is corrupt what we call love today. It's not pure. It isn't. It's not pure love. You can say what you want. It's not pure. It isn't. It's not unfeigned love. It's fake. It's not. It's love with dissimulation. It's full of hypocrisy. It's full of flesh. That's what it is. And that's not what the Father wants. He's never called us to that. No. I close with this and say 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, honor all men. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. He said, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. That's what he said. We ought to love the brotherhood and the sisterhood, the sainthood. Now, folks love the hood, sinhood, fleshhood. He said, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, and honor the king. That's what he said. He said, fear Yahweh. But we ought to love the brotherhood. Brothers, we ought to love. Sisters, we ought to love the sisterhood. That's the way it should be. Remember years ago, there was a baseball team called the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're still there. And they had that song by the Staple Singers or something, we are family. You hear about my brothers and sisters, something like that. And they were tremendous champs because they were a family. And those supporters came out every night for those baseball games. Stadium sold out. They won the World Series, I think, 2 years in a row. Back to back. The Pittsburgh Pirates. I remember that. And they will always say, "We are family." How does that song go? Love my, I don't know how it goes. "We are family. What about my brothers and sisters?" Something like that. But he tells us to love the brotherhood. Love it. We ought to love the brotherhood. We ought not to want to dissimulate from the brotherhood. We ought not want to separate ourselves from the brotherhood. He said, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. That's the way it should. Love the brotherhood. Some of you all rather be with the wicked and the unholy. Those things that are profane. He said, love the brotherhood. We ought to love the brotherhood. It ought to be a desire to be with the brotherhood. I'd rather be with the brotherhood. That ain't my brotherhood. My natural brother said, they ain't my brotherhood. These my brotherhood in here. I don't want to be out there. This is my brotherhood. It ain't no brother. He said, love the brotherhood. There ain't nothing there in Charlotte. Any brotherhood to me. My brotherhood are those that do the will of my Father. And it's sad, our mentality, because that's why minds are not really pure. And that's why the things of Yahweh can't take effect in us and yield fruit. He said, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the King. That's what we ought to do. And then he says in the third chapter, verse 8, finally, my brother, be of one mind. We ought to be of one mind. Shouldn't be no duplicity of minds here. Just one mind. The mind of Yahshua. Let that mind, as we were told often, let that mind. He said, be of one mind. Having compassion one of another. Yeah, one of another. We always say that it's not this one having compassion. No, he told you to have compassion one of another. He said, love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. That's what he said. Be pitiful. Be courteous. No, he told you to be that. Yeah, be good. Is it? Yeah, he told you to be good. Be pitiful. Be courteous. You can be that. He said, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. When they rail against you, you bless them. They say something against you, you bless them. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, and that ye shall inherit the blessing. He said, you ought to know that even if they curse you, bless them, because you have a blessing to inherit. Let them say what they want to you, just say, I bless you. Because you know there's a blessing for you to receive. Yeah, love the brothers. Love the brotherhood. We have loved the worldhood and the hood we came out of. You're more concerned about going back and seeing the hood. I don't care about the hood that I came out of. I don't want to see the hood that I came out of. I want to see the brotherhood. I want to see the brotherhood every day. I want to be able to look at the brotherhood and bless the brotherhood. I don't want to go out there and bless the wicked hood. I want to bless the brotherhood. That's what the Father wants. And we can love the brotherhood. Yeah, love the brotherhood. Where they're brothers and they're gathered together. He said, love them. Where they're sisters and gathered together, love them. So I said to Sister Robert, your love is no different for your mother than Sister Debbie, because you're willing to wash her backside just like you. I don't take a backseat to that. I can't be Sister Robert's anyone else. You're corrupt and you're wicked. The love of Sister Deborah makes no difference whether she, sister what, she let her wash her bad side. I have no problem with things like that. I just don't. Not one bit. If anything is good, provoke one another into good works. She did that, then provoke her. She provoked her, then she provoked you. You provoke someone else. Something wrong in our hearts and our spirits. Yeah, I love my wife, another tell her the truth. I'm not going to tell her a lie. I'm not going to pacify her. I tell her what's right. To build up in the most holy faith and what it's going to take to make it in. Well, then you're exposed to be for all good. For our own strength and for mine too. Yeah, love the brotherhood. Yeah, that's your challenge. Love the brotherhood. Love the sisterhood. Ain't no way I'm going to go out here and treat this wicked world better than I treat the brothers. I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to treat the world better than I treat the sisters. I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I don't have much to say to the world. What did I do? Somewhere I went. The woman, we go buy the shoes down there in the place down there in Lancaster because they're more variety. Because Sister Robert's always going when I buy shoes. Oh, this all you buying? The woman trying to chit chat would come and say, because that's the way I talk. That's it. No conversation. I don't have no time for no conversation for that. I really, really don't. Well, that's crude. Is it crude? Her words were full of folly and foolishness. I'm not going to waste your time for nothing like that.